Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. We'll read the first 10 verses. Hear now God's holy and inspired word, Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf, and the young lion, the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May the Lord himself add his blessing to it. We are marching ever steadily closer to the actual celebration of the birth of Christ Jesus. We've witnessed in 2 Samuel chapter 7 the covenant being established by God with David. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we heard of King David's last words as he spoke of the glories of the greater Son, King Jesus. Where we read, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear and shining after the rain. And now in Isaiah chapter 11, we come to understand that this greater Son of David is the Messiah who will bring life to the dead and the dying root of Jesse, the father of King David. In King Jesus, we do not have the continuation of a great Davidic dynasty, but rather we are promised an eternal king who will sit upon the throne which has been abandoned due to the ungodliness of the sitting kings. He's not merely one more of the line of David. He is the fulfillment, the perfect conclusion, and the eternal king. So in Isaiah, we have a people who are under duress. The Davidic dynasty is coming to an end. The Assyrians are threatening. The Babylonians are coming. The end seems to be near. So imagine the comfort to the remnant of God's covenant children who were part of a people who were at war with God. They were part of Israel who was rebelling and refusing to submit to God. And yet there was that remnant within there. As they would hear these words of comfort ye my people, is the common refrain of Isaiah, knowing that this is not the end. that the greater son of David, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, is yet coming. Isaiah chapter 5, woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. That was the context in which they were living. They were looking to Assyria for their comfort rather than to God. And God says, I'm using Assyria to be a punishment to you. But for the covenant children of God, they know that God has not abandoned them. The physical seed of David were being removed from the throne. Cause for national pride was dead. The people of promise had abandoned the covenant of God. Hope was dead, humanly speaking. And humanly speaking, the root of Jesse had perished. And then a shoot springs forth from this root. Life from the death shines forth. Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, assumes the eternal throne and renews life and brings hope even to us, the Gentile people. A couple years ago, as the trees were cut down along the property line, all seemed dead. But if not treated, you saw shoots coming up again. And that's kind of the picture that's set before us in these verses. The stump of Jesse is all but dead. There is no hope. But then we see one shoot coming up out of this stump. One shoot that is strong. One shoot that becomes our mighty king. So we see that only through the finished work of Jesus are all of the effects of the fall transformed for His children. In the verses before us this morning, we witness the perfect transformation of a hopeless world to a world with perfect comfort and assurance to those who are united to God in Christ. We see a great transformation where Jesus brings, in 4 points, life in a dead world, righteousness in a wicked world, peace in a hostile world, and salvation in a condemned world. This is the shoot from the stock of Jesse. That branch that springs forth from a stump that seemed dead. Firstly then, the life in a dead world. We see this in the first couple verses of our text before us. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. The house of Jesse has been shown to be a great tree. Jesse, of course, is the father of King David. David received the promise of an eternal kingdom in 2 Samuel 7. David is the man after God's own heart. There's arguably no greater family name in all of Israel, even today, than that of the stock of Jesse. He is the General Sherman tree of Israel. You remember General Sherman, the mighty sequoia in California, the most famous of all the sequoias. Well, that's the line of Jesse in Israel. General Sherman tree being 275 feet tall, 36 feet in diameter, dated to nearly as far back as our text here, 23 to 2700 years old. It was a sapling or just about to sprout at the time when Isaiah is writing this, now a mighty tree on our west coast. That can be compared to this stump of Jesse, a line that had all the prominence, the influence. And yet Isaiah tells us this is a dead and dying stump. Mighty tree falters under King Ahaz when the Assyrians are asked for help. The mighty tree is once again shaken and finally falls as King Hezekiah shows off all his wealth to the Babylonian ambassadors. See, look at all that I have. And God says, they're going to come and they're going to take it all. The house of Jesse is a tree which is then hewn down. How the mighty have fallen. The great General Sherman tree is cut down to the roots. The covenant God made with David seems to be in peril. He promised that the line of David would continue. And yet we see it all falling apart. Isaiah chapter 39, then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from whence did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. They shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." The mighty tree of Jesse, the line that has more prominence in Israel than any other line, is brought down to the dust in utter humiliation. And ultimately, for about 400 years, we hear nothing of the root of Jesse. It seems to be dead. Jesus, as a new shoot, arises then from the root of Jesse. And we see this being emphasized in Matthew 1 and in Luke 3 as the genealogies of Christ are brought forth. And the authors here make special note to show that Jesus is indeed from the very line of King David, from the root of Jesse, that He is the rightful heir to the throne, that what seemed to be dead has now brought forth a shoot who is the new king. This shoot is perfect where the root was flawed and even rotten. In this shoot, in King Jesus, we have not a mere sucker branch which has no vitality, but this shoot is far superior even to the original rootstock. In Christ, we see the fullness of the Godhead bodily from Colossians chapter 2. We see the Spirit of the Lord resting upon Him. Not only is Jesus divine, but Isaiah is taking great pains to show that He is likewise fully man. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding is in spirit, and He will grow in knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We see the Spirit resting upon Him. Not only is He divine, but He is fully man. And as man, Jesus grew, He matured, He learned, and He suffered. Fully as man as you and I. Fully as human as anyone that He came to pay the penalty for. When He got hurt on the playground, His fingers bled just like ours bleed. And we saw that upon the curse of His cross, as He did indeed bleed for you and me. In Luke chapter 2, we see, "And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." The fulfillment of these first couple verses in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. Fully man, he is growing, he is maturing, he's learning. Not to diminish, not to undermine in any way his divinity, but he had to learn like you and I. But he learns in perfection, and he learns with the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. He grows and he matures. In no way did his divinity become diminished. Thus, the stump of Jesse, which appears dead, is given new life in Christ Jesus. Life in a dead world. Secondly, we see that he brings righteousness in a wicked world. We see this in verses 3 through 5. There are mortal limitations in a fallen world. Even the most honest of judges are limited by their senses. But we see of this great king that his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of eyes nor by the hearing of his ears. He will not be limited by what people tell him or what he hears, sees them do. For he is not only fully man, but he is fully God. He cannot be buffaloed. He cannot be fooled. He will not be limited by the hearing of his ears or the sight of his eyes. A human judge can only judge that which he can see, hear, or observe. A human judge has limitations, but this judge is told, we're told that he will not be limited likewise. He has mortal limitations, he has no mortal limitations, nor does he have moral limitations. Verse 4, with righteousness he shall judge the poor. In this fallen world, not only are we limited by what we can see and hear, but we are limited by our own nature. And the prophet Isaiah says this is not the case for King Jesus. He brings righteousness in a wicked world. He is not limited by a fallen nature, but he will indeed judge with righteousness and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. We never judge in perfectly righteous manner, do we? Our judgment is always colored by our own ethical code, even when we don't desire. We are limited because of our fallen nature, because of our own preferences. But not so of this root of Jesse, this Christ, this coming Messiah. This shoot from the stem of Jesse is shown to transcend mortal and moral limitations. As the eternal God, he judges the heart of the matter. And we see this in evidence in John chapter 2 and verse 25. He had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. In this world, sometimes we try to talk a good talk, to talk our way out of trouble, to make excuse, to use rhetoric to get our way. But we're reminded here in these verses before us that that is a futile attempt. We cannot buffalo King Jesus. We cannot confuse him. We cannot spin him a yarn. We cannot twist and color the facts, for he knows what is in man. And he rules with righteousness, and he judges with equity. And he does so for the meek of the earth and for the poor. As God, this judge perfectly discerns the holiness of God. The judgment of Christ is a comfort to his seed, to you, his church. We see this in the first part of verse 4, because he judges for the poor and for the meek of the earth. The humble and the meek enjoy the divine protection. Remember all the times, even in Christ's ministry, that we see him looking out for the children and for the widows. And this is a common theme throughout all of Scripture. The meek and the humble, the hopeless and the helpless. We see it in our text here too. He judges for the poor and for the meek. Those whom the world seeks to abuse, this King of Bethlehem will protect and will deliver. His children will receive the justice which is perfectly aligned with the holiness of God. The world looks at the outward. The world looks for those of influence, of means. But perhaps that's not you. Perhaps you are one of those who is overlooked, who is poor, who is humble, who is abused by this world. Take comfort and take hope. This Messiah is told to us in these verses is looking out specifically, particularly for you. He will lift you up and set you upon a high place. The judgment of Christ is a terror, though, to the wicked. To the godly, He is a comfort and He lifts you up, but to the wicked, He will strike the earth with the rod of His mouth and with the breath of His lips, He will slay the wicked. This is a stern warning to all who stand with a haughty spirit, who stand opposed to the law of God, who seek to walk in their own ways and by their own strength. The righteousness of this judge will slay and destroy. Thirdly, we see this root of Jesse brings peace to a hostile world. Verses 6 through 9, we see something very interesting. The antithesis of a wolf dwelling with a lamb, a leopard with a young goat, little children putting their hands in the den of vipers and being safe. We see a picture of a peaceful creation set before us. Now there is confusion within the Christian world and with those groups surrounding the Christian world about these verses, that the coming of this Christ will bring complete peace in our day in this world. The coming of Christ was not for the sake of bringing world peace today in 2021. And the coming of Christ was not for the sake of causing all people to become vegetarians and not hurt any animals. That's not what's going on. It's not speaking either of a golden age, of a continuing progress of sanctification to where we get to a point in this life where there is no more hostility. That's not what's in view here. In fact, in the New Testament, you even have the picture, the trance of Peter as he sees the sheet coming down and the voice from the Lord saying, "Rise, kill, and eat." We have the direct command from God that I've given you these animals to eat. Death came through the fall, and the work of Jesus is the work of restoring and surpassing the peace that was before sin. Now what we have here is what one theologian, Gerhardus Voss, spoke of as the already not yet. Already in this life, we have a certain picture of peace. Now in this world that is still under the curse, there is still death, there is still pain, there is still anguish, but we have spiritual peace with the coming of Christ. We have the confidence, the assurance that we have eternal peace with Him. And we have also the beginning of peace where we have peace with our Lord and we're called to love our neighbor as ourself. We have the beginning of it already here. But it's a flawed peace. And it's not a complete peace. The effects of sin still lay upon this world. There is still death. There is still pain. There is still all sorts of trial in this life, and that will not end as long as this earth continues. But already now, in this life, today, in December of 2021, we see the shoot of the stump of Jesse bringing true and lasting peace. You can have perfect comfort. Even in a fallen world, even knowing that our days are numbered, even knowing that there will be trials and there will be hurts and there will be pains, there will be relationships that are torn apart, we can have peace when we are united to Christ, this shoot of the root of Jesse. In Him, we have confidence. We have comfort. We have the assurance of salvation, and we have the beginning of true peace. But there's also the not yet. And that is the anticipation of eternity, the second coming of Christ, when all of the effects of the curse are wiped away. Where indeed we have the fulfillment of this. There is no more death. The wolf and the lamb can lay together. The infant can reach into the den of the vipers. We look forward to that, where there is no more tear. There's no more death, for the old things have passed away. When Jesus does come again to judge the living and the dead, then all of the effects of the curse are cleansed. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He brings the only true and perfect peace to a hostile world. And finally, salvation in a condemned world. We see this in verse 10. And then that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. Standing as a banner, as an ensign, as a place to look for salvation. There's no other salvation but by him. From Acts chapter 4. As a flag, such as the bronze serpent that the children of Israel looked to in the wilderness when they were bitten by a serpent and they were healed. In him, in Christ, in this shoot from the root of Jesse, we see salvation. He brings peace. He brings life. He brings righteousness. And he brings the certainty and the confidence of salvation. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And not only to the family of Jesse, not only to the children of Abraham of flesh, but we see that the Gentiles shall seek him. Or as one theologian, German theologian, Hengstenberg, translated it, he shall seek the Gentiles. And that's ultimately what it is, isn't it? In Christ, we have the one who has found us, who has given us peace, who has cleansed us from our filth, and who has brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We have the one who has purified that which was filthy and given salvation to that which is guilty. What was pictured in the covenant with Abraham and David has become a reality in Christ. The salvation of Gentiles, in you all the nations of the world would be blessed, was the promise to Abraham. Thus even Luke and Acts are written to a Roman ruler, Theophilus. No matter the correct interpretation, Scripture is clear that our salvation is not based upon our own volition, upon our own works, but is based upon the election, calling, and regeneration, making alive of God through Christ. God calls you to faith in the finished work of the shoot of Jesse, to the work of Christ Jesus. And his resting place shall be glorious. Final clause. Or once again, as Hengstenberg translated, and his rest is glorious. That's really it. The rest that we find in Christ is glorious. It is perfect. It is without parallel. It is eternal. It is without the effects of sin. It is continual, perfect, into the glory of God. The beauty of the promised greater Son of David, as we have witnessed from Isaiah 11, is that only in Christ do we witness the fulfillment of the glory which Peter spoke of in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is to you, and we'll conclude with these words, verses 9 and 10. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. You've obtained it through Christ, the shoot of the stump of Jesse. Amen. Please rise for a prayer of application, which will then conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Lord our God, what a glorious privilege it is to belong to this shoot of the root of Jesse. What seemed dead, you have made alive. When we seemed without hope, you have given us life and salvation. We praise you for it. May we never lose sight of that. We pray that all the days of our life we would focus upon the glory of union to you through Christ. May our lives be sanctified by your Holy Spirit as we are made more and more into the image of your glorious Son. Now we conclude our prayer using those words that Christ Himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.